Welcome to our time of worship here at Countryside Community Church. My name is Jim Hollister, and it is my honor to serve Jesus Christ with you as the pastor at Countryside. Needed to share some news. We have had a positive case of COVID among our church family. So we've taken a number of steps. We believe that we've been in touch with everyone that had been in contact. And the two steps that will probably affect most people is that we have decided that we need to pause our on-site worship for the next 2 weeks. That means that there'll be no drive-in church. That means there'll be no service of the word until at least after Thanksgiving. Additionally, we've decided that we also need to close the church office for that same period of time. So it will be closed at least until after Thanksgiving. Now, the phones will be answered, so if you need to call the church office, you can do that. You'll still get to talk to Jeff. He just won't be in the building. We think that those are most of the things that we need to do in the short run. This is obviously a fluid situation, and so we will be continuing to reevaluate what we need to do and communicating what those steps need to be as we go forward. I wanted also to say thank you to all of the church leaders for their hard work in working with me to talk through what do we need to do, who do we need to contact, what steps do we need to take so we make sure that we do the best job we can of keeping the whole church as safe as we can be. So I would invite all of you in response to that to do a number of things. First, would ask that you would be in prayer for our friend who is ill. Second, would invite you to pray so that we don't have a bigger outbreak. Would ask that you would be kind and gentle with one another, patient, as we work through all of the things that we need to work through. And finally, would lift up the biblical encouragement. It's particularly fitting in this season, but in all seasons, that we would give thanks in all things. We find that God blesses us when we remember to focus on all the things for which we have to be thankful rather than obsessing over our challenges. So during this time, let's pray together, let's be kind to one another, and let's continue to be thankful. And I look forward to what God will do to bring something good and wonderful even out of something like this. And now, we invite you to join as we enter our time of worship together.
The scripture for today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, the sheep and the goats. I'll be reading from the NIV. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, or did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that you are strength in our weakness, that you are wisdom in our folly, that you are peace in our discomfort. We give you thanks, Lord, that you are always with us in joy and in trauma. We give you thanks that you continue to come and speak to us. And so once again, dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would pour yourself out on us, that again you would come and you would take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of all of our hearts, and inspire them, breathe life into them, make them come alive for us, so that in them we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So we finally made it. We've made it to this Sunday. The Sunday before Easter, the Sunday that we call the reign of Christ. It's that Sunday that, because we organize our schedule for worship, our plan around the events of Jesus' life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his baptism, his transformation, because we organize ourselves around that, this is the last Sunday of the Christian year. We've finally made it. We've gotten here, and we've gotten here, and again, we have this text, this story about the end of time, about judging the nations, sorting them out, about the sheep and the goats. If you've grown up in church, you've probably heard this text hundreds of times. I know that I've preached on it many, many, many times. And there's a tendency for us, as we hear this text, to kind of jump to the end and go, well, this is about, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? Do we need to make sure that we care for the homeless and we feed the hungry and we make sure that folk have safe water to drink, that they have safe homes to live in? We need to make sure that we visit the sick. We need to go to the prisons, right? We need to make sure that we do the right things. And especially for those of us who have grown up in the Wesleyan tradition, there's a real emphasis on, we got to make sure that what we do is right. We got to make sure that we do what is right. But as I come to the text this time around, it makes me think that this text is really more about being than doing. This parable is more about being than doing. And it's not that doing is not important. But when we think about this text primarily being about what do we need to do, it always leads us to a question that this parable does not answer. And that question is, so how do I know if I've done enough? Like, I went to the prison that one time, is that enough? I've donated clothes to Goodwill, is that enough? Or do I have to, there was that family that burnt out and we took stuff too. Is that enough? Or do we need to do more? How does that work? How do I know if I've checked off all the boxes? And we get caught in the same thing that many of the Pharisees got caught in. You remember several weeks ago we talked about that the Jews themselves talked about Pharisees as having these seven different kinds, and one of the negative kinds were those Pharisees who really thought about following God as being all about making sure that you check all the boxes, that you keep everything in your spreadsheet, and that you keep it all balanced. You want to make sure that you're running a surplus in good stuff so that you can hold God and God will owe you. When we think about this parable primarily as a being about what we do, we end up with that unanswerable question. How do I know if I've done enough? And that's part of why I think that this parable is primarily about being. What kind of people does God want us to be? When we get to the end of it all, when we're ready, when we've invested in the kingdom of heaven, what kind of people does God want us to be? And I think that's what this parable should lead us towards more. Apparently that's hard to say. I think that that's what this parable leads us to more. In part because as the Son of Man who is sitting on the throne is sorting out the sheep from the goats, when Jesus explains how do you get on the side that gets invited to come into God's heavenly kingdom, or when you get on the side that gets tossed out, they're both absolutely surprised. Both groups of people are surprised by the words that are spoken to them. What do you mean I saw you hungry and I fed you? What do you mean I saw you naked and I gave you clothes? What do you mean that I saw you thirsty and I gave you water? How did that work? I mean, I went to the prisons, but I never saw you. Or I saw a lot of homeless people and none of them, they didn't deserve any help, but I never saw you. Lord, if I'd have seen you, I absolutely would have helped out. They're absolutely surprised. And God seems to be more interested in what kind of people they were. Are you the kind of person who lives your life totally invested in the kingdom of heaven? Are you the kind of person who helps someone who's thirsty? Are you the kind of person who helps someone who is naked? Are you the kind of person who helps someone who is alone? Are you that kind of person? Or are you the kind of person who says, I can't be bothered. I don't have time. I don't... You don't deserve it. What kind of person are we? Now, one of the things that does matter a lot to us as we think about what kind of person do we want to be? What kind of person does God want us to be? Is it matters a lot who we call the least of these. Right? The phrase of praise and the phrase of condemnation was, when you did it to the least of these, you did it or didn't do it to me. Who are the least of these? And again, because we've spent an awful lot of time, an awful lot of history of over the millennia of trying to interpret this parable. What is it that Jesus is trying to say to us? There have been a lot of different answers to that question. Some commentators say that the least of these really is the children of Israel. Some people say the least of these is the church. Mother Teresa said that the least of these are the untouchable lepers who lived in the gutters in Calcutta. How we define the least of these is important. And it has a lot to do with the kind of people that God wants us to be. We need to be careful that we don't get caught up in the same conversation that the lawyer got into with Jesus. You remember, he asked Jesus, what is the greatest of all the commandments? And Jesus gave him what was the stock answer. Or rather, in Luke, where this parable happens, Jesus just says to him, you know what the scriptures say. What does it tell you? And he responds with, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, yep, that's it, go do that. And trying to defend himself, he gets into a conversation, yeah, but who is my neighbor? See, if I keep that nice and small, then it's really easy to do that command. Of course, Jesus won't have any of it and defines the neighbor by telling a story about a Samaritan who helped a man that a priest and a Levite didn't, and ends the story with who was a neighbor to the man who was robbed. Who are we going to be? What kind of person are we going to be? John Wesley, in teaching on this passage, said, yes, the least of these are the church, but we absolutely have to include everybody else. To be the people that God wants us to be at the end of time, at the end of our life, at the end of the day. We need to make sure that our understanding of the least of these is as big as Jesus' understanding of the least of these. I think this parable is primarily about Who does God want us to be? Now, perhaps at this point you're going, well, that's just fabulous, preacher, but what do I need to do? What do I do about this? What do I need to do to become who God wants me to be? Well, there's a long answer to that, but let me try to give a shorter one. And I just want to say it this way, that practice can help us become who we want to be. Practice helps us become who we want to be. So if you want to be a great kicker in the NFL, you go out and kick the football a lot. You want to be a great baseball player, you go out and you play a lot of baseball. You want to be a great instrumentalist, then you play. You play your instrument a lot. When it comes to our faith, practice can help us become who we want to be. John Wesley famously came to Georgia and absolutely failed there. He came to Georgia and he writes in his journal, "I came to Georgia to save the Indians, but who will save me?" And in his travels to the New World and back, he encountered a group of Moravians. And he saw in them great faith. And again, he writes in his journal about on the boat, they got caught in this great storm. And he was terrified. And the sailors were frightened. And the Moravians sat and sang hymns. So when John got back to England, he went to find some of these Moravians and simply asked, "How do you have so much faith? I want this kind of faith." And the advice he got was, "Preach faith until you have it, and then preach faith." What do we need to do to become the kind of people that end up on the right hand of the throne? How do we end up being the kind of people who feed the hungry and clothe the naked and take care of the homeless? How do we become those kinds of people? We practice. Right? It's not that what we do doesn't matter. It's why we do it that matters even more. If we try to be the kind of people that God wants us to be by focusing entirely on, "I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this," then we end up lost in the, "But did I do enough?" But if we're really focused on becoming the people that God wants us to become, then we're practicing to be who God really wants us to be. We're practicing to become who God wants us to be. We're practicing to become who God created us to be in the first place. Before sin came into the world and wrecked it all. We don't practice to get saved. We don't practice to get God's grace. We don't practice so that we'll gain a relationship with God. We practice because we love God. We practice because we are saved. We practice because we are God's people. And we practice so that we become the people that we want to be, the people that God wants us. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Celebrate all that God has done for you and your family. And practice. Practice. Practice being the people that you want to be. The people that God wants us to be. Grace to you and peace. Amen. God.